But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. Are we amazed at what happened? Are we amazed at the glorious good news of the gospel? Or is it just blasé, oh, it's what we expect? We do it every year. Every year we hear the story of his life and ministry. Every year we celebrate his birth at Christmas. Every year we celebrate and remember his temptations in the wilderness as a reminder of how we are tempted. Every year we hear about his ministry. Every year we hear about the Sermon on the Mount. Every year we hear about his healings. Every year, year in and year out, we hear this story. And then every year we hear about the Last Supper and the crucifixion and his death and his resurrection. Are we amazed at the story? Are we really amazed? My friends, I put it to you that if we are not amazed at this wonderful, most incredible, most unexpected story about life triumphing over death, about peace triumphing over violence, about health triumphing over illness, about miracles triumphing over the expectations of the world. If we are not amazed at this wonderful good news, at this story, at this incredible proclamation, I tell you, my friends, if this is just the same old story and we're not hearing it with fresh ears and reading it with fresh eyes and feeling it with a fresh heart, if we are not amazed at the wonderful, glorious working of God's power in our lives, then my friends, we ought to just go home. Close up shop. And stop this Christian business. Stop this Christian proclamation. If this is just emotions, my friends, if this is just play acting, play church, if this is a social society you're gathering, and not the community, the family of faith, if we don't truly believe and are amazed at the wonderful working of God in our presence, my friends, we ought to just quit. I ask you today, I put it to you today, be amazed. Be astounded. Be awestruck at the wonderful, mighty working of God's power. At this story, which we hear again and again and again, and we hear it four times in the four Gospels. We hear this story of the women who come to the tomb and they find the tomb empty and they find no body in it. Behold, an empty tomb. And they're met by one or two young men, angels, who ask them why they are looking for the living among the dead, and he's gone ahead of them to Galilee, and don't you remember it? And they run back to the disciples, and the disciples don't believe it, but Peter, and in John's Gospel, John, go running to check it out, and walk away amazed and perplexed at the event. We've heard the story many times. Are we, like the disciples, going to be amazed? Are we going to believe? My brothers and sisters, be amazed. Be amazed at the empty tomb. Be amazed at the real presence of Jesus in our midst. Be amazed at the healing working in our lives. Be amazed, my friends, at the grace and power of God. We proclaim the real presence of Jesus in our midst, in this congregation, in the community of faith, every day. Not just on Easter Sunday. Every day. We proclaim the real presence of Jesus here. I have friends from Missouri. Most of you know I have a close connection with many of the clergy and laity in Missouri. I've taught schools of mission up there many times. And one of the things I'm always amazed at is the show-me state mentality of the Missourians. I mean, they're not going to believe it until they see it. And sometimes they don't believe it even then. And I had a friend, member of a church I pastored several years ago, who was from Missouri. He's the one who taught me how to say Missouri and not Missouri. And he said, Greg, I'm not going to believe it until I can reach out and touch Jesus. In other words, he wanted Thomas's test. You know, Thomas, who said he wouldn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead until he could put his fingers in the holes in his hands and put his hand in his side. Then he would believe, and Jesus exposed himself to Thomas's desire and Thomas's need and says, here, behold my hands, behold my side. Do not be faithless, but believe. And Thomas went to his knees and proclaimed, my Lord and my God. And Claude, my friend, said, I need to see Jesus. I need to see him. I need to reach out my hands. I need to touch him to know that he's alive. My friends, I do this nearly every Easter. Reach out and take a hold of the hand of the person next to you. Do it now. Reach out. Take a hold of someone's hand. Come on. Do it. They won't bite. All right? My friends, you are touching the body of Christ. Amen. You are touching, you are feeling, you are squeezing Jesus' hand. Amen. You are touching your Lord and Savior. In your sister or in your brother seated next to you, ahead or behind you. You are touching Jesus. You're holding his hand. Together, my friends, we are the body of Christ. We express his presence in this world. We are an Easter people called to proclaim by our words and our deeds the real presence of Jesus. And if someone needs to know that Jesus is alive, show them with your action. Show them with your word. Show them with your presence and the presence of Jesus in you. Don't just say the good news. Do that, definitely. Don't just say, behold the empty tomb. Show them the empty tomb and Jesus in you. In every word and in every deed. I put it to you, my friends. If we go through this Easter season, if we go through these Easter seasons and the seasons of the church year, if we go from Christmas to Epiphany to Lent to Easter to Pentecost, the common time, and back to Advent again, and Christmas again, and Epiphany again, and Lent again, and Easter again, and Pentecost again, and if we do not indeed embody the real presence of Jesus to our sisters and brothers in this world, outside these doors and windows, then, my friends, we ought to pack up and go home. If we're not amazed by the truth, if we're not amazed and awestruck and give glory to God for the truth, Behold an empty tomb. And the one who was in it now lives within our hearts. If we're not amazed by that message, and ready and willing at a moment's notice to show that message to everyone whom we meet, we might as well pack up and go home. What are you going to do? What are you going to do this Easter season? What are you going to do today and tomorrow and the days and weeks that are to come in this season of proclaiming victory of life over death? We live in a world that is obsessed with death. I thought it was amazing, terrifying, troubling. The Passion of the Christ was at the top grossing film for week after week after week. It was wonderful, glorious. Thank God for it. People are going to a movie about Jesus. And it wasn't a movie in which Jesus was depicted as some depraved individual. He was depicted as dying for them. People were going to a movie about Jesus. But it was knocked off the top rung of the movies by another movie. A movie about death. A movie about zombies. A movie about darkness and evil. My friends, so often we come to church on Easter and we proclaim that life is victorious over death. And then we allow the death of the world, the anger of the world, the hatred of the world, the pain of the world, the division of the world to knock the life of the resurrection out of our lives. Don't let that happen again. Grip on. Hold fast to the life that Jesus has for us. The life that He gives us in His resurrection. The forgiveness that He gives us in His death. And the eternal life that we have in His resurrection. Hold fast. Don't let death and anger and pain and politics and fighting, strife and politics and family and politics and church and politics and city and politics and country and all that junk. Politics. You know, my favorite false etymology is an etymology for the word politics. It comes from the word poly, meaning many, and ticks, blood-sucking insects. Politics. No, that's not real. That's not real. That's a fake etymology. But it's funny. And politics are awful in churches, in cities, in states, in countries. They divide people. We fight over nothing. Or what we think is important, but which in the eternal scheme of things, when confronted with this message about the defeat of death by the life and resurrection of Jesus, the defeat of sin by the death of Jesus, the defeat of despair and loneliness and separation of God by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, when confronted with this, all of that other stuff is junk and nonsense. My friends, in this Easter season, I encourage you, hold fast to that wonderful, glorious good news. Hold fast to the life message of the empty tomb and of Jesus in your heart. Hold fast to Him. Be the people of God. Be the body of Christ. Reach out and touch a hurting soul and put your faith into action. Put your belief into faithing action. And let people see and know that Jesus lives in you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.